We're going to be in Psalm 40 this morning, so if you want to turn there, Psalm 40. Last week, I introduced a new sermon journey for the next several weeks. The title of this series is called Reoriented, Psalms of New Orientation. If you were here last week, you recall that our launching pad was a brief discussion about the types of psalms that we find in the Psalter. Refer you back to this graphic that we shared last week. Next one. where I told you that one of the works that has been very prominent in my study and in my understanding of the Psalms is a book called The Message of the Psalms, a theological commentary by Walter Brueggemann. And in it, he talks about how the Psalms can be categorized in one of three categories. We have Psalms of orientation, which are Psalms that display how things should be. And as such, these Psalms, you'll see them talking about the Torah or the law or scripture. You'll see them talking about creation. I mean, this is just how things ought to be. But then we have Psalms of disorientation. And in Psalms of disorientation, you're likely to see Psalms like laments or complaints about the way things shouldn't be. You know, things have gone awry. There's pain involved. There's struggle involved. And so you'll hear crying out for help or for mercy. And then we have the next category called reorientation or Psalms of new orientation. And that is a place where seemingly God has lifted a person out of a disorientation. And as such, you will see that these Psalms display a flavor of praise and celebration. You lifted me up out of the mire and the clay, and I shout out praise to you. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout aloud. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Those are Psalms of new orientation. And as you see that they're kind of in a circle, it's safe to say that these Psalms represent the cycle of life. There are moments where things are just okay, and things are just fine. Let's say you're going on a family vacation. You have this excitement. Everything is right. You put your bags and everything in the car. You fill up with gas and you set the the directions on your GPS system or your phone or however you do it. I think we set up an iPad on the dashboard there, and you're on your way, and everything is right. And that's orientation, right? But then you get disoriented. You know, the weather gets bad. You get a bad storm, and you might make a wrong turn, and maybe you're on a road that the GPS hasn't programmed in yet, and so you get lost. And when you get disoriented, you get agitated, don't you? You get agitated because not only are you lost, but that's when all the questions start coming from the family, like, when are we going to stop, and when are we going to eat, and how long has it been, right? And that's just my wife, and we're going on. And things get crazy. You know, when you get disoriented, you want to focus, right? So you turn the radio down. You want to get focused. You cry out. You know, sometimes you cry for help. Help, Lord, 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 help us. But then you emerge out of that. You get back on the road. You get right the right direction. You're on the road, or maybe even you even see the destination in sight. You see the big ears of Mickey Mouse, or you see the big roller coaster that you've been wanting to get on, and you emerge out of that disorientation into new orientation. And then all of a sudden the family gets happy again. You start singing songs together. You start clapping. You're doing all these things. I like to embarrass my kids. I'll turn the music up loud and start doing all these crazy dances so the other cars can see us, because I'm in a feeling or a season of new orientation. And then you do it all over again on the way back home. We are intending to focus on Psalms of new orientation. And that's where we are, or where we will be for the next several weeks. So let's read together a portion of Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is written in my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. Church, have you ever been in a position where you needed to be rescued? Have you ever been rescued? How did it make you feel once you were rescued? You should talk to the family who got to that place when they had more month at the end of the money, not knowing how they were going to pay their bills, and someone showed up at their door and said, hey, can I come in? Let me see your bills. And they proceeded to take out a checkbook and began to write checks paying the bills for the family. You ever been rescued? Church, it was a few years ago, and I think I've shared this story with you, when some of us were in Rhode Island and we were swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. That was fun, and I was on a boogie board in the Atlantic Ocean. And if you've ever done boogie boarding in the ocean, I'm not good at it. I think I have too much weight for the boogie board. But nonetheless, because I have too much weight for the boogie board, I was waiting for that big wave. To ride that big wave in on the boogie board. I saw all these little kids doing it. I said, I can do it. And so I would see a wave coming, and I would say, oh, that's not big enough. And I would jump over that wave, and I would go out further and further from the beach and further and further. And so I see way back perched up on his, you know, stand, the lifeguard waving like this. You're too far. And I know it wasn't me, because I know I ain't trying to get messed up in the water, church. So I knew he wasn't talking about me. So I looked back and I saw no one. He was talking to me. I was so far out. And the feeling that you get when you try to put your foot on the ocean floor and you don't feel anything, that's a scary moment. I was drifting out further. And so this lifeguard came and swam out. I was with Scott Brumfield. Scott Brumfield was in the water with me. Well, he couldn't get to me either. I was too far away. But eventually, you know, the guy got to me, and he pulled me to safety. And church, I got on that beach and we had worship. I wanted to give some praise for rescuing me out of that great danger. Have you ever had to be rescued? I want you to watch a clip, this touching story of the lingering effects of a rescue from Hurricane Katrina. This was last year. There was an airman who had rescued over 100 or so people. And there was one rescue that really touched him and that he remembered deeply. And 10 years later, he was looking for this person that he rescued. So let's watch this quick clip.
Finally, an Air Force veteran who never forgot a smiling face, who never forgot one powerful hug. And tonight, he needs your help. Here's David Roy.
When Hurricane Katrina hit 10 years ago, Air Force Master Sergeant Mike Maroney was on the front lines doing rooftop rescues in New Orleans. He did 152 of them, more than anyone else in the Air Force. But only one had a huge smile on her face.
The little girl was the first to go up with me. And
that little girl in the pink shirt, a rescue he'll never forget.
She's like, there's my house, there's my school. You know, she's just enjoying it, just having a blast, even in the face of all that destruction. She was strong.
The thank you she gave once she was safe made the destruction of Katrina disappear.
I wasn't even in New Orleans. I don't even know if I was on a planet at that time. I was just in that hug.
He never learned her name or her family's name. And ever since, he's been on a mission to find her again. The search, now viral, #FindKatrinaKid. And when he does find her...
At that moment, I don't think words will capture what I am feeling or what I want to say, so... I think a hug will do it.
He's hoping for one more hug. David Wright, ABC News, New York.
Two powerful smiles. Let's help find her. I'm David Muir. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.
I find it interesting that here is a story of someone who made a daring rescue and he was so impacted by the simple praise of this child, captured in that big, huge smile. And here you have the rescuer, perhaps more impacted than the rescued. I don't know how to explain that. But that's the power of what takes place when there's a rescue. And again, perhaps maybe you've been in those moments where you've been rescued. And you know what it's like to give praise or to give a smile or to give this moment of exuberation because you were in peril, but now you're rescued. Psalm 40, perhaps written by David, but certainly inspired by the events in David's life, conjures up in our collective memories the moments where we were in situations where we were in trouble and eventually rescued. Remember, the Psalms represent real emotion, and having been written out of real experiences, the Psalms tend to be relevant to our lives today. In Psalm 40, we see the condition of the one who was in a mess. Now, don't let me tell it to you. Listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist is the one who says, he turned to me and heard my cry. Whatever situation that this person found themselves in, it was something that caused them to cry out. It caused them to yell out. It caused them to reach out for some assistance, some help. Please save me. I am in a mess. And there were tears. Let me tell you something. Real men cry. I don't care about what they say or what it means to be a real man or real men don't cry. No, when real men get in real trouble, real men cry out for help. That's not less macho. That's just being real about it. When you get in a situation, you cry out. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. This person was stuck in a mess. The Message translation says he lifted me out of the ditch and pulled me out from deep mud. This person was stuck in some stuff and some circumstances and some situations that many of you have found yourselves in. I know I have found myself in those same type of situations where you're just stuck and you don't know where to go and your mind doesn't work right and your words doesn't work right and your emotions doesn't work right and you don't feel like eating and you don't feel like being around people because you're so stuck in a mess. Then this person says, he gave me a new song. If he gave me a new song, that means that the songs that they were singing were not effective, or they weren't singing at all. This person was in a situation where he had no reason to sing because his condition was so dire. And it was out of this condition that God rescued the psalmist. He was disoriented, and the Lord brought him out of the distress, and thus new realities began to dominate his story. And so he says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The Lord is a God of wonders. There is none like you. I can't begin to list all the things that you do. And here I am, Lord, in your presence. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, they're all good, but what you really want is me in your presence. And as such, I'm coming into this sanctuary, into this assembly, and I can't shut my mouth about it. I got to tell everybody about how I was rescued. I have to tell everybody about the situation that I was in and the situation that I am in right now, standing here before you as one who is rescued. When we encounter the living God after he has taken us out of some of the messes that we have been in, after he has rescued us with someone showing up at our door to pay our bills, or after he has rescued us through a lifeguard pulling us back to shore, or after he has rescued us into bringing some clarity into our lives when we were stuck in mire and disorientation, after we emerge out of that, we can't shut our mouths. We give praise in the presence of our congregants, of the assembly, God's people. We can't shut our mouths when we are full of praise that emerge out of these real situations. Those are new realities of being reoriented after being rescued. Trust me, when that lifeguard rescued me from drifting, I was ready to set up a praise time at the beach. I can only imagine what that family whose bills were paid felt like doing when that brother or sister wrote those checks for those bills. When people of faith come into contact with a Lord who rescues, praise is the natural course of action. In doing so, we sing loud songs of praise. We lift our heads, we lift our hearts, we lift our hands in worship. This is both truth for the individual and the community. The story that dominated the life of Israel, the life of the Jews, is a story of rescue and deliverance. You recall there was a time when Israel was a country that had been taken into slavery. They were oppressed. They were in Egypt. And they were being driven by slave drivers to do work. They were a people who didn't have an identity. They were robbed of their identity, only to build up the identity of the Egyptians. But they cried out to God, and God heard their cry, and God came in and he rescued them. He rescued Israel out of Egypt. And what's the thing they did after they got on the other side of the Red Sea? They gave praise. They gave praise to God. They sang the song of Moses. They sang the song of Miriam. They sang these praise songs. And years later, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, Jews are still singing songs of rescue. They are singing songs of a new orientation because God rescued them and delivered them. Maybe you've heard about the story that we read about in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, Jews were emerging out of exile, but they were still under control of another country. And there were some folks who had bad news in store for Jews. They were going to exterminate all of the Jews, but God raised up a special queen named Esther who for the benefit of the people was able to go to the king and to make some requests, and it saved the Israel from extermination. And as such, when they came out of that, they celebrated, and they still celebrated to this day in a feast called Purim. Purim is a party. It is just a party. It's parades. It's games. It's eating and drinking. It's all of the kind of looks like Mardi Gras without the Mardi Gras. And the focus of that celebration is when God delivered them from extermination, when God rescued them from that evil fate. Individuals celebrate when they're rescued. The community of God celebrates when they are rescued. We give praise to God because he is in a position to see what we cannot see and thus offer rescue. The reason that lifeguard was able to see that I was drifting out too far is that he was perched in a position to see what I couldn't see. He was in a position to see what my friends couldn't see. None of the friends who were out in the ocean said, "Dion, you're going out too far. You need to come back." No. It was the lifeguard. You see, God is perched in a position where he can see what we can't see. He can hear what we can't hear. We give praise to God for doing what we and others couldn't possibly do for ourselves or others. This is not to diminish how God is using each and every one of you in the lives of other people. But know this, that there are just many things that only God can do. Only God is the God of so many wonders. And so we give praise to him for that. We give praise to God because through his rescue, he saw it fit for us to see another day, another moment. And perhaps through this rescue, he is prepping us to make a difference in someone else's life. You know, perhaps when God rescues us out of whatever we've been rescued out of, is not just for the benefit of ourselves, but perhaps God has in line for us a story that impacts the story of someone else. That is why our praise can't be kept a secret. This is why our praise must be told. The psalmist in this psalm couldn't wait to get to the congregation and declare praise to Jehovah, the one who rescues. It may be that way, that the way we react to our rescue may have dramatic impact on those around us. Remember the little girl who was rescued? Look at the impact her smile of praise had on others, particularly the rescuer. Let's watch this.
Before the break, we had the privilege of meeting Master Sergeant Mike Maroney, who saved over 140 people in the aftermath of one of the worst natural disasters to ever hit the United States, Hurricane Katrina. Now, Mike, you told us that you've been trying to find the little girl that you met during the Katrina rescue, and a photographer managed to capture the moment. And you didn't even know they were taking this picture.
No, ma'am.
Didn't know at all. That hug and that smile, that's what got you?
It meant a lot.
Well, you know, that beautiful little girl, her name is Lachey Brown. She's now 13 years old. She's a straight-A student with dreams of becoming a lawyer. She has few memories of what happened that day, but she does know that Mike saved the lives of her and her family, and now the time has come for you to meet her. So, Mike, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Lachey, come on out.
So beautiful.
Look how tall you've grown.
I know.
You're just as cute as you are in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
I don't know. You're a lot of nerves.
This is the man that rescued you and your family. How you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's going through your mind right now?
If I could explain to you how important your hug was, that's that small gesture that would. It helped me through bad days and dark days, and I mean, you have a beautiful smile, and it's stuck with me, and it's helped me, and has meant a lot to me. So I'm indebted to you. You rescued me more than I rescued you.
Oh,
on top of that.
Didn't mean to cut onions while we were in church, y'all. Do you see how her praise impacted someone else? It's okay to wipe them away, y'all. I see y'all. I see y'all. It's okay to do that. What happens when people see the praise that we have for what God has done for us? It has impact on others. Church, this is not the place to hide your praise. This is the place to display your praise in all its splendor, in all its power, in all its volume. When God has done something for you, when God has rescued you out of that slimy pit, out of that clay, out of that mess, give him praise. A psalm of new orientation. You see, praise instigates praise. Later in this series, we will focus on psalms that are called ascent psalms or songs of ascent. That means to go up. These were songs that were sung as Jews made pilgrimages to Jerusalem for festivals. Here is one of those songs from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. If that is a truth and a reality that is embodied in your life, if that is something that you hold deeply in your heart, if that is the God that you worship, if that is the God that you serve, then don't hold back and give praise to God. And our praise to God doesn't have limit, and it doesn't have time limit, and it doesn't have space, and it doesn't have a number. We're going to sing a song in just a second called 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord because he has done so many things. As such, we have 10,000 songs or 10,000 words or 10,000 moments or 10,000 instances, 10,000 seasons to give God praise because he does so much for us. And he's rescued us. He's rescued us as individuals. He's rescued us as families. He's rescued us as a church. He's rescued us as a community. May we, the body of Christ, never relent from showing and shouting our praise to the Lord who rescued us. Next week, we're going to talk about Psalms of Redemption. So we'll get there, but God has saved us. He's rescued us. He's redeemed us. He's cleaned us. He's given us purpose. He's given us meaning. He's given us one another. There's so many reasons for us to give God praise. We're going to stand in just a moment. If there is something that the church can join in with you on a praise, maybe you want to share a praise with us. By all means, share that praise. Maybe there is, again, just as last week, excuse me, if you are caught up in a moment of disorientation right now, things just, they're just not firing, they're just not clicking, and your head is just, it's foggy, and you just don't know. We want to be a church for you that will surround you and that will pray for you. and that will sing alongside you and that will hold your hand through that disorientation. But this song of new orientation is a song that expresses all the many things that gives rise, that informs our praise. 10,000 reasons. If you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, and you want to profess faith in Jesus Christ because of his rescue of you, his intention to rescue you out of the situation that you're in, you want to profess faith in him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll also provide that ministry for you. Let's stand and let's sing this song of praise.